The date was December of 2024, and the place was my house. It was a Monday night, and it was a typical fashion at Monday night at my house where the kids have come over for supper. And I was in the kitchen getting the last bit finished up so that we could actually set the table and eat. And the kids and Jess, they were in the living room. And I heard this, "Dad, we need you. Come in here for a minute." Silas was calling. And so I came in, and Kennedy was giving Jess a small gift bag. And as she opened the gift, I saw that it was a Christmas tree ornament. A Christmas tree ornament of a little blue oven with a bun inside. And it had written on it the words, June 2025. I think it took me a moment to figure it out. But it wasn't very long before I had figured. Have you guys figured out what it was? It was new appliances coming in. No, just no. It was a birth announcement. Birth announcements have become quite the thing these days, aren't they? But they're not new. If you haven't figured out from what has transpired so far this morning, Advent is upon us. Advent is this wonderful season. It has started with carols filling the airwaves. We've got trees being put up. We've got the banners have been changed. It's a time to prepare for the most important event in all of history. To have hope in a future promised by God. And this morning, I want to talk about the many birth announcements within Scripture. Specifically, the ones that were promised and the miraculous and anticipated for so many years. We all know that Jesus' birth was foretold and promised long before he was born. But he was not the only one in Scripture to have a divine birth announcement. And so we're going to look at some of them this morning. The angel Gabriel famously announced to Mary that she would become miraculously pregnant with Jesus. And later the same message was given to Joseph, presumably by Gabriel. Though the text doesn't say. However, by my count, there are 13 stories within Scripture. 13 stories that give us this amazing birth announcement, not just of Christ, but of others. So let's take a look at some of them this morning. We're going to get to most of them, but not all of them, just because I didn't have enough time to put them all into one sermon. The first category, because I broke them up into categories, is simple. This category is those that are miracle children. Now, I know that every child is a miracle, but these are the ones that go the extra step or mile to be truly miraculous births. Now, some of the miraculous conceptions in the Bible are direct answers to parents' prayer, but not all. For some, God just simply announced that the child would be born, even though the mother was barren. Perhaps she was in her old age, or perhaps she was just simply a virgin. We learn about the birth of Isaac last week. Isaac, in Genesis chapter 1, he was born finally in chapter 21. He was born to Sarah and Abraham. And one day God called Abram and said to him, go. Go to a new land, and I will turn you into you and your descendants into a great nation. And as we've learned this year, Sarah had been barren, and she was beyond the age of childbearing. But the Lord, in a vision to Abraham, who then told Sarah, you're going to have a baby. And do you remember her response to that? She laughed. She laughed because she knew that she was too old to have children. And several times God told Abram, the promised child is coming. Sarah will be the mother. Finally, three visitors show up at the door of their tent. Showed up at the door of their tent, and one of those three visitors spoke to Abraham in earshot of Sarah, and then speaks to Sarah herself, giving her the precise and personal confirmation, the timing of the birth, that next year you will have a child. And we learned last week that the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. Now, Isaac was the first miraculous child to be born. The birth of Isaac is deeply intertwined with the origin story of the Israelites and the Jews and as the descendants of Abraham. All three announcements of Isaac's birth are embedded within the significant events. God's promissory covenant with Abraham and the nation of Israel, it's all intertwined with Isaac's birth. He was the first miracle birth. But if we move to another, there was another one, and his name was Samson. Do you guys know the story of his? In Judges 13, we read this. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. This announcement is made by an angel. It's made first to Manoah's wife, and then again to Manoah because he was a little bit. He specifically prays for the angel to appear to him too, because he flat out doesn't believe this. And in verse 21 through 23, Manoah's wife speaks sense into her husband, and she says, and when the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. We are doomed to die, he said to his wife. We have seen God. But his wife answered, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all of these things, or now told us this. A little off topic from our topic this morning, but husbands, perhaps sometimes we need to pay more attention to the wisdom of our wives. Their son Samson would be one of the greatest judges of Israel, a mighty warrior against the Philistines. But a third miracle baby was one that many of us don't know. And you find this story in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, where a Shunammite woman and her husband were told that they would have a baby by the prophet Elisha. And when he told the woman that she would have a baby, she was shocked because she was barren. And this remarkable story, it's an absolutely amazing story, but I don't have time to read it to you this morning. So pull out your Bibles and check out 2 Kings chapter 4. I encourage you to read this more about this. It's a great story. But here are just a couple of details. She wanted a son so much that she doesn't want the pain of disappointment. That her husband, though old, lives to at least long enough to see that the baby grows into a boy, and then the child dies, and his mother is absolutely devastated. But Elijah rescues the boy, or Elisha rescues the boy, rather, and brings him back to life. Fantastic story. Read it this afternoon. 2 Kings chapter 4. But there is one more in the Bible that we find in this category of miraculous birth, but I'm just going to mention his name and then we're going to carry on. We'll talk more about him later. You might have figured this one out. His name is Jesus. But the next category is those babies born as a result of prayer. And so they come about by prayer. They are the ones born to parents who have been unable to have children, where one or both of the parents have specifically been praying for children. Now, the first instance in the Bible of a parent who is praying to the Lord or goes to the Lord in prayer asking for a child may have done so because he himself was a miracle baby. When Isaac got married to his wife Rebekah, they realized that she was barren. And Isaac began to pray for his wife. It says this in Genesis 25. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the pregnancy was not an easy one for her, simply because she was not expecting one child, but two children. And these two boys, well, they were, let me just say, world-class wrestlers within her womb. The scriptures say the children struggled together within her, and she said, "It is thus. Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." Now, this announcement was not only about the birth of her children, but also the birth of two separate nations. And the boys were named Jacob and Esau. Now, Jacob grew up And he was a bit of a scoundrel regarding blessings and birthrights and that he stole from his brother. But he eventually went on to marry the love of his life, whose name was Rachel. But to make a long story shorter, he was tricked into marrying the older sister, Leah, first, and then marrying Rachel, who happened to be barren. And 10 children were born to Leah and the two servants that came with Leah and Rachel. And finally, we read in Genesis chapter 30, then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. And as we see, Rachel had been asking God for a child, and God listened to her cries and opened her womb. And while this particular account in the Bible seems to be quite messy with way too many wives and sister rivalry and man-made solutions, it does not deter from the fact that Joseph was a miracle baby born to Rachel after she had spent time praying for a child. And we're reminded last week that God's timing is perfect, because it is his timing. It is never too early. It is never too late. It is always on time. And it's important to recognize that we can still face disappointments, even when our prayers are answered. Or to put it another way, God is still at work in our difficulties and in our pain. He loves us. And in the good and bad times, and is working for his plan to be worked out in our lives perfectly. The next miracle baby that I need to bring up by praying parents is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Every year, Hannah would go to the tabernacle and pray for a child. Until one year, we read, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will touch his head. And while she prayed, the priest Eli saw her praying and weeping, but heard no words, but saw her lips moving and accused her of being drunk. Oops. Well, she told him off and told him that she was praying out of emotional distress. And realizing that he was wrong, the scriptures say, then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made of him. And what's cool about this particular birth announcement is that the priest Eli did it without realizing he was making a birth announcement, because he didn't know that she was praying for a child. He said, just go, God will grant you your petition. We got to keep moving because there's just too many of them. We got to move to the New Testament to find our final baby who had parents praying for a miracle child. In the Gospel of Luke, we're learning about, by the way, a shameless plug for Sunday school, adult Sunday school. We just went through this story last week, and the next story that we're going to talk later, we did that one this week. We are going through it verse by verse, and we're learning about Advent as we're going through Advent. So come on out next Sunday. We got 2 weeks left until we take a break and keep going in the new year. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We learned about this old couple who had no children. This couple was named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And there appeared to him, Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing over the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." In this announcement, we find that we're not certain. Was it just one parent praying or both parents praying for a child? But God has heard them. And since the Bible tells us that they are both advanced in years, it is the opinion of many scholars that these prayers may have not been current prayers. They may have been prayers that were given years ago. But in God's perfect timing, the angel Gabriel at the altar of incense appeared before Zechariah and makes this exciting announcement and left him literally speechless for the next 9 months. This baby truly was a miracle baby. And if you haven't figured out who this baby is John, who is called John the Baptist, born to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. With that said, we come to the third group of miracle babies, children who were spoken of in prophecy before they were born. The children listed in this group are not miracle babies in the sense that we have no reason to believe their parents had been infertile. However, every child is a miracle and a blessing of the Lord. And the first one is perhaps a bit of a controversial one, since he was already conceived when the prophecy came about. And this story is found in Genesis chapter 16. His name is Ishmael. We recently went over this very event, and if you remember, Sarah had come up with this plan because, well, they weren't having children, so maybe we could have a child through Hagar, my servant, and maybe that's the promised child. But then when Hagar got pregnant, she got jealous and told Abraham, "Send her away, I don't want her here." And so she is sent away. And as she wandered and vanished out into the desert, she's visited by an angel. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son, and you shall call him Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen." This prophecy was that the Lord had heard her suffering, that she would bear a son, that he would be a wild donkey of a man. And as I mentioned, this one is a bit of a controversy, so I'm going to move on from there. But Ishmael was prophesied before he was born. But it's no more controversial than the next one that I'm going to mention. And that's found in the book of Hosea. Before you get all upset and confused, let me explain. The prophet Hosea was given a very difficult job. In order to be a prophet, you must do what God is asking you to do and speak what God is asking you to speak. And the prophet Hosea was told by God that you must marry a woman who will be unfaithful to you. And your life will serve as a living illustration of Israel's unfaithfulness to me as God. And while married, she will have three children, Jezreel, Lo-Ruhamah, and Lo-Ami. And Hosea is told this by God himself. And by the way, those names mean God sows, no mercy, and not my people. Wow, those are lovely names. And the prophecy was that their names would all reflect the coming judgment that God would bring upon Israel. Jezreel and Lo-Ami, they were boys, and Lo-Ruhamah was a girl. And their names have a pretty stark meaning. And one hopes that Hosea had enough sense to raise them as individuals in their own right, not based upon what their names meant. And with these births, they're truly horrible, because she has a child and then has a second child and has a third child. But then you read the rest of Hosea to find out she is just an unfaithful woman. Time and time again, she leaves him and cheats on him, illustrating how Israel continued to leave God and to cheat on God with other idols and false gods. I am so glad that I am a pastor and not a prophet, because I'm not sure I could handle that. With all of these birth announcements, there is a couple more. One in Isaiah I just don't have time to get to, but there is one final one that I really, really want to get to this morning. And I mentioned that one briefly already. And that is the birth announcement that is the reason for this season. In fact, he is the reason for everything. And the birth of Jesus was first announced a very, very, very long time ago. In fact, we see that that announcement was given as a prophecy found in Genesis chapter 3. If you recall, in Genesis chapter 3 at this point, Adam and Eve have just, sinned. They ate of the forbidden tree. And God is pronouncing judgment upon them and upon the snake that deceived them. And as he speaks to the snake, he says these words: I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Or some translations say strike. This prophecy was given to show them that a son of Adam and Eve would come to defeat Satan. And while there are many other prophecies regarding the coming Messiah, we have one of the most famous ones found in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says this: Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And as we see this prophecy given 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus, it points towards Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior. And then in Luke's gospel, we find out that the angel Gabriel is sent to bring a message to a young woman named Mary. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary, who was only engaged at the time, ran into some issues being pregnant. But Joseph, after having his own vision and birth announcement by an angel, decided to take Mary to be his wife. And wisely, Mary went to visit her cousin for a while. Well, Mary went to visit her cousin, whose name was Elizabeth, who by God's timing was in her sixth month of pregnancy. And the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. Even at this stage, her son John the Baptist, as he was to be known, knew and recognized Jesus, the Messiah, in the womb of her cousin. His mother's cousin, that's what I'm trying to say. And he leapt within the womb. And songs are sung and God was worshipped. And it was an amazing time for Mary and Elizabeth to be together. Two miraculous babies, both announced by God. And Jesus is not the only miracle baby. But a miracle, or not only a miracle baby, but he is also a miracle conception. And one that was that was the very first prophesied. But in all of Scripture, he is the last of the miracle babies. The last one to be prophesied about. The last one to be prayed for, mentioned in Scripture. That's not to say that parents haven't continued to pray for babies and had that answered. But Jesus was the first prophesied and the last one mentioned in Scripture to be born. How amazing is that? He is in a very real way, the first and the last. He is God with us. He is announced by God. He is announced by angels. anticipated for generations. And when he did come, he was celebrated. At least, he was celebrated by the least, by shepherds from the fields. He was honored by those who traveled from far. He was born among the animals. He was wrapped in strips of cloth. He was placed in a manger so that the shepherds could see him. He was sought out by wise men who traveled some 1,800 miles to seek him and bring him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The heavenly hosts declared him, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom his favor, with whom he is pleased." He is announcing his birth to those shepherds. And then there is the star itself, the star which was prophesied, which brought those men from afar. Announced by the heavens themselves that this child is coming and special. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The question is, what are you going to do with this announcement today? Will you stand and sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest? Team, you could make your way up here this morning as we finish our service, as we sing this amazing Christmas carol, Angels We Have Heard on High, declaring and giving us this amazing announcement of birth.